conscious of the law of God. And I realized that I was under the law of God. And the Bible's very clear that the law cannot save anybody. The commandments cannot save anybody. But the law can convict you of your sin. It can condemn you to die. And the Bible says, those that are under the law of God, it says, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And I remember being under the law of God and being subject to a sense of bondage, a sense of fear. And it only got worse when I really understood the spiritual nature of the law of God, as I said the other night. And I realized that I was condemned to death and I was afraid of death. I was like a hypochondriac as a kid. I was afraid of death. And if I would get sick, I would be afraid I was going to die. And But the good news is that there came a time in my life when I heard the gospel, and I can now say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There was no way out. But God became a man and obeyed the law. And then he died under the curse of the law to take our condemnation of death out of the way. And he rose from the dead to give us life. And if you have faith in Jesus Christ tonight, you have eternal life. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear the future, because you have eternal life and you don't have any problem. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the Bible says you can know for sure, you can know for sure about your present and your future life based on what the Bible teaches here. And we already looked at this, but the first thing we said that you can know for sure is that you can know that you live in a temporary tent. And look with me again at verse 1 of chapter 5. 2 Corinthians says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and then go down to verse number 8 of the same chapter there, and I'll read that one. It says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So our body is just a temporary tent that we are living in for a little time. And we can know that we're going to pass out of this body. And just like we were born, there's a date of our birth, there's a date of our death, and we're going to pass out of this body. And this body is just a temporary tent that we are living in. And I mentioned, you know, when I went camping as a kid, we used to enjoy going camping. And then we went back home to our permanent home. And we think so much about our bodies. We think about our health. We think about our life in this world. And yet it is so temporary. The Bible says compare the temporary nature of life to the eternal future that you have with God and the future life that you have. It's not even worthy to be compared. It is so temporary. But people get all caught up and distracted by the things of their body and the temporary things of this life, and they neglect the eternal. I remember when I got saved, I got that verse, what will it profit if a man gain the whole world, yet lose his own soul? What was happening to me? I was all caught up in this world. I wanted to make money in this world. I wanted to have possessions in this world. That was all important to me. And the verse came home to me, what will it profit if you gain the whole world and your soul leaves your body and goes to hell and you're in hell forever and ever and ever? What good is it going to do? And what good's it going to do if you are successful in sports, if you're successful in money, if you're successful in hits on your Facebook or whatever you're successful in? What good is it going to do if you're successful? And this is the thing that bothers the stuffings out of me more than anything else. This stinking generation caught up in video games. I am sick and tired of this video game generation. Yeah. And I know a lot of you are involved in video games because that's the generation we're living. But these guys are suckering you. And they're right. getting you to buy this and buy these points and get more wins. So who cares? Right. It is worthless. It's all going to burn. Get yourself in something important. And one thing you can know, we live in a temporary tent of a body. And I just get so troubled that, you know, believers that get all caught up in this and they're not realizing that people are temporary and that they're going to die and they're going to go to hell, heaven or hell. And it is so important that we be doing God's work because we live in this temporary tent. And number two, you could know that you'll be in a better place when your soul leaves your body. Look at verse 5. It says, now he that hath wrought us for the self-same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Well, what's the earnest? That's the down payment. So when I have a renter come to me, they want to rent the apartment. They pass the test of a renter. They give me the money. That's the down payment. Now, that's a non-refundable deposit. And I thank God when I got saved, suddenly my values changed. Suddenly my understanding of life changed. I started seeing things spiritually. And my whole orientation changed. Why? Because God, when he saved me, he gave me the down payment of the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't have that, then you don't have eternal life. You don't have salvation. And so it's important to check that out. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're not Christ. But since he came into my life, he's been leading me to go against this world, to go against my flesh. By the way, I have a sinful nature. It pulls away from God. And so does yours. In one day, you could backslide. In one day, you could damage yourself and your testimony. And so every day, we have to be careful to walk in the Holy Spirit. We have to depend. It's like an old person. They need a walker, you know. My mother, we finally got her a walker. Now she's walking with that walker a little bit. It's good for her to have. But you need the Holy Spirit to depend upon him for your direction and your life. And so you live by the word of God. And when your soul leaves your body, you're in a better place if you are born again and you have the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We're absent from the Lord. And then he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, what does that mean? That means that if I have my heart stop beating, if the brain waves stop, I go to be with the Lord. We had a guy all this past, well, not this past week, but the few weeks ago, he was with us. He was in this church. He was walking with God for the last week of his life. And then Thursday night, he came to soul winning here, went out with Jesse soul winning. He was translating from Spanish to English to help Jesse win souls. That was Thursday night. He went home. He was sent out to go to the store, went to the store right here, the little mini mart here at the Sunoco station. And while he was there purchasing his product, he turned to leave, turned to the left. Guy came in with a garbage bag and a pistol and shot him right through the brain. And the bullet went right through one side and out the other. And he wasn't long for this world. And he passed out of this world. You know, when you pass out of this world and you're a believer, you are taken to a better place. And we've been talking about that. And you can know that you can know that you'll be in a better place when your soul leaves your body. And you can know that you'll live right now in just a temporary tent that will not be here forever. And so you need to realize that every day you live. Now, there's one more thing I'd like to finish on, and that is you can know that you should groan for glory. Not only do you live in a temporary tent, not only will you be in a better place when your soul lives your body, but you can know that you should groan for glory. So look at verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 5. Here's what it says. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now I want you to notice the word for there. Verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle. Now the word for can be translated because. Because of these things, we that are in this tabernacle do groan. And we do groan. And what are we groaning for? You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. They said, yeah, I was groaning, and I was looking in the Bible about groaning. And the question is, what are we as believers groaning for? I hear people groan. I hear him groan sometime. And he got up and he went, like that just a little bit ago. And we groan. I talk to people and they groan, you know. And the question is, why as believers are we groaning? Well, for one thing, we're living in a mortal body. Right. And we feel tired. We feel the cold. It was a nasty day yesterday. It was so nasty. How many agree with me? It was a nasty day. I mean wet. It was cold. It just went through you. We were out there knocking on doors all day yesterday. But I was so glad to have a sunny day and get rewarded today for that work. But listen, your body feels that. And you groan in this body. Now what do we groan for? Well, the Bible is very clear. It says in Romans 8:23, ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of your body. You know, when you're going, you're groaning for a better time. And that better time is when you have a resurrected body, just like Jesus Christ. And as long as you're here, you're going to groan. But you know what? Sometimes I'm groaning and I don't feel like going out in the cold. I don't feel like doing what I'm doing. But I was listening to Donald Trump at a speech in Pennsylvania, and it was a nasty day. And he was talking about the weather, but he was out there stumping. Here's a guy that's a multi-billionaire. Here's a guy that could be relaxing and enjoying his money, but he's out there and he's speaking and he's traveling and he's working. Why? Because there's something more important than the comfort of your body. You know, you'll have all eternity to have a comfortable body. You'll have all eternity to fly and to enjoy heaven and to enjoy a resurrection body. I'm talking about not just 1,000 years, not just 1,000,000 years. Not just 1,000,000,000 years, not just 1,000,000,000,000 years, but Joel, how long? A zillion. I mean, it's just a zillion. It's going to go on and on and on. So when I was out yesterday and I was feeling that cold and that wet, I say it's going to be worth it all. Because the groaning that I feel is for a resurrection body. But it's so sad when Christians sit home all the time playing video games and sucking their thumb and comforting their body and getting all caught up on their own comforts and their own stuff. Is it any wonder that we don't really enjoy the Lord? Joy is an accident. People are going after happiness. No, happiness, you're not to go after happiness. If you go after happiness, you'll be a sorry person. But if you go after what Jesus wants and get outside of yourself, you'll be happy. I get so excited to see Brother Steve Geary, I mean it, in that Wilkes-Barre route and going out and losing his life in that route. Now, here's a guy that is getting up in what we call middle age, Brother Steve. And that's when people just want to coast. They want to start taking it easy. By the way, that's in the rearview mirror for me. But you know, people in middle age, they want to coast, they want to get it easy and just have the good life. Let me tell you, that's not the good life. The good life is to lose your life. For Christ's sake and the gospel, and you will find it. Yeah, you'll be tired. Yeah, you'll groan. But listen, it's just like when you've done the right thing, you feel good when you're resting. You feel good when you're going to sleep because you've been doing the right thing. And I just want to do the right thing. I want to do the right thing with my life. I don't want to coast until I die. I want to go out for the Lord. I want to go out for the Lord. And what Donald Trump is doing in the political realm, you need to do in the spiritual realm. You need to do that in the spiritual realm so that you don't have the excuse to say, well, I'm getting older. I can't do this anymore. No, I was talking to our brother back here, Elgin Gano, and he was talking about his dad in the Philippines. Dad's a pastor in the Philippines. He said, my dad died of cancer. It got so bad. But he kept preaching and serving God right until the end. And now your brother took over that ministry, right? And is serving God. And Brother Elgin, you know, he's had good examples in his life. And we need to have that kind of example. So what I'm saying to you is that, yes, you ought to be groaning. You ought to be groaning for glory. And if you're groaning for glory, you ought to be using your mortal body. Like Paul said, what are the sufferings of this present time? They're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And you see some people that their bodies are old, their bodies are decaying, but yet they're putting young people to shame who sit there. You make me sick. All the time. And so I'm just saying. Now you say, what do you got against the video game? It's addictive. It's addictive. You can get addicted to it.
Right.
And if you're going to be addicted to something, you better be addicted to doing something you can do with your body. And not just do all of this. It's very addictive. And you need to realize that this thing is coming and it's going to take over the whole world. And you young people that are born in this era, I feel sorry for you. I really do. Because you're born in an era of something that is very destructive. And so you can know that you should groan for glory. And that's what this is talking about. Now, he is saying, that is what I mean about desires that you have for born-again Christians. Now, listen to me. He's saying that death is better than living in your body. Paul said, it's better for me in Philippians that I die. He said, because if I die, I'm going to depart my body. I'm going to be in a better place. I'm going to be with the Lord. And Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, we're confident that if our body stops, we're going to be with the Lord. And he said, we even desire that. In fact, look at what he says here in 2 Corinthians 5. Notice what he says. He says in verse 2, for in this, speaking of the mortal body, we what? Groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Now go down and look at verse 8. He says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. He said, we're not just confident that if we pass away from this body. We're not just confident we're going to be in a much better place in heaven with the Lord. He said, but we're willing. We're willing to do that. And that's what we should be. We should be willing. And yet, I don't want to be misunderstood. There are some Christians, they believe this, and then they go through suffering, and they take what I would call the coward's way out or the wrong way out. You could do that in your life. You can take the coward's way out. You don't feel good or you don't feel like going forward, but you step out in faith and go forward anyway with the Lord. And I know a guy that I went to school with, and he was a pastor's son, a great expositor of the scripture, his dad. And this guy, won't mention his name, became a pastor, a Baptist pastor, great Bible teacher, preacher, had a church, and he got cancer. He's about my age. He got cancer some years ago. And when he got that, he had a lovely wife, one of the girls at school he married. I remember her very well. Saw her not too long ago. She was at my dad's funeral, actually, in Michigan. But this guy, she's now his widow because he got cancer, and he just realized it wasn't going to be pretty. And he believed this scripture, absent from the body, present with the Lord, and I desire to. So he took a gun and planned it all and shot himself, I believe through the head, and committed suicide. I mean, that's a sad thing when that happens. Because really, though you're in a better place as a saved person, you're in a better place, that is the wrong way out. That's not the way to leave. And that's not what you should do. I had my sister's funeral. I preached at her funeral in Florida. And sadly, my sister had some terrible things happen in her life. One of the things was her husband cheated on her. That's a tough thing. That hits a person in the depths of their being. And my sister, she went out in the car and sat in the car and shot herself through the head. And I had her funeral. I believe my sister's in heaven, but that's not the way out. Yeah, it's better for us to leave this world and be in heaven. Christ paid it all. My sister loved the Lord. She was in a Baptist church. She would take the kids to prayer meeting, take the kids to church. Oh, it's better. But no, this is not an escapism. Paul said, it's more needful for you that I remain in my body. He is no fool, Jim Elliot said, who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You're not foolish to give money to reach people for Christ in the bus ministry and in the church. You're not foolish to raise your kids to invest their life in eternity. You're not foolish, you see, to take the hard way instead of the easy way to do what God wants you to do. Oh, there may be other Christians. They think they'll be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others are fighting to win the prize and sailing through the bloody seas. But listen to me. You are not keeping in mind what the Bible says in just a few verses after this. Look at verse 10. Here's what it says. And look at verse 9. He says of chapter 5, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now what does that mean? Whether I'm right here now in this pulpit, or whether I leave my body, what's the most important thing is that I'm putting a smile on Jesus' face every day. That I'm doing what the Lord wants. So at the end of the day, he's saying, yeah, well done today. You did the right thing today. There's nothing more important than that. Don't worry about what Joe Blow is doing. Don't worry about what Sister Susie's doing. You just take every day and labor to put a smile on his face. To know that the one whose face was beaten and bloody and thorn crowned and went through the wrath of God for you, that he's happy with you. See, you only need to please one person.
Right.
It's not dad, not mom, not sister, brother, husband, wife, whatever. You need to please Jesus with your life.
Amen.
And if you do that, you will be a success. Because this life is temporary. And we are groaning. We are groaning for the wonderful glorification that is coming. And so we are right now seeking to be approved of him. Why? It says in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you know what that's talking about. That's not talking about determining whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. That's determined the moment you get born again. That's not determining that. It's determining how the Lord is going to be able to reward your decisions and your labor for him, whether it be good or bad. Oh, my friend, it is so important that we groan with the realization that we're going to have a wonderful new body and God is going to make up everything to us that we might sacrifice for him. And it is going to be so foolish to have hoarded the things of this life in light of eternity. And so he says here, and I want you to look with me at verse 4. He says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality may be swallowed up of life. Now, what is that talking about? I'm just going to give you one verse that goes along with that. 2 Timothy 1:10, he said, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, I want to ask you a question. If Jesus Christ has given us life and immortality, what's the difference between those two things? He says the gospel gives you life and immortality. The gospel brings it out into the open and says this gospel gives you life and immortality. Well, what's the difference between life and immortality? One of the men, tell me, Brother Z.
Immortality means you'll never die, but life is now. We can live, as the Bible says, he that saves his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake shall find it.
Amen. Life is the animation of your being by his spirit. You had a dead spirit. The moment you were saved, the Holy Spirit came to live within your spirit, and you had life. I like what Brother Heil said about losing your soul. It's not only losing your soul in hell, it's losing your purpose, your personality. When you do your own thing, you lose your purpose. You lose your personality. And Brother Heil talked about that guy that was a hippie back in the day, and he said he was about 5 foot 2 inches high, and his hair was about 5 foot 2 inches long. And he was talking to Brother Hiles, and Brother Hiles was giving it to him. And he'd go, achucha, achucha. I like you, baby. You got soul. Achucha. How many heard Brother Hiles preach that? That was great. He was a hippie, but he recognized Brother Hiles had soul. And you know what gave him soul? He wasn't living for himself. He wasn't living for himself. He was taking up his cross daily. He was following Jesus. Brother Hiles used to say, I just take my body, I yield it to the Lord, and I say, Lord, I want you to lead me to do and say and think what Jesus would do were he here walking in my shoes today. And he'd go into a dentist office, and he saw a lady there that was crying because she couldn't pay the bill and for her teeth, that he had the money, and he went up and he just slipped the money to the dentist clerk there and said, here, take care of that bill for her. And he would just go through his life and just say, Lord, if Jesus were here, I want to do what Jesus would do. And he had soul because of that, because he didn't live for himself. When you're living for yourself, you lose your soul. If you're a child of God, your soul won't die and go to hell, but you'll lose your purpose. You'll lose your joy. You'll lose what really life is all about. Jesus said, "I am come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly." And the people that are really joyful, the people that are really doing something, are following Christ, and they are doing the main thing which he came to do. He didn't go to Jerusalem to have a kind of a vacation. He went to Jerusalem to purchase our salvation. And what a blessing it is when we see people getting saved. We see people, lives being changed. What a great thing it is. People come into this church, they say, "This is so exciting to be here. It's so exciting to be here." And why is it exciting to be here? Because there are some people in this church. You're laying down your life to follow Jesus, and you're getting your soul. By doing that, you're getting your soul. And so that's what life is. Life is what you have now in the Spirit of Jesus Christ in you. And as you follow and yield to the leading of the Spirit, you experience that abundant life. Well, what then is immortality? Immortality is your body is going to be rejuvenated. It's going to be resurrected if you give your body and you die before Jesus comes back. It's going to be resurrected. But something that was a mystery that wasn't revealed in the Old Testament until Paul revealed it in 1 Corinthians 15, 53, he revealed it as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He said, "Now you know about resurrection. You know if you serve the Lord and you're a believer and you die, God's going to bring your body back." But what was the mystery that he revealed there? And I'll ask Brother Matt right here. He's got his hand up. What was the mystery in 1 Corinthians?
We shall not all sleep, but we shall be raptured or changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen. We're not all going to die. There's going to be one generation that's going to be alive when Jesus comes back, and your body will be suddenly rejuvenated, just like a resurrection body, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen instantaneously. And so that's the blessed hope. Dead or alive, we're going to have perfect, glorified bodies like the Lord. They're going to live forever. And so, why should we get caught up in the body culture,
right,
that just cares about this body, taking care of this body, protecting this body, all self-centered? We ought to invest that body in God's work. Now, I'm not saying don't eat good. I'm not saying don't get your sleep. I'm not saying don't get your vitamins and all that. But what we need to realize is that we have life and immortality to look forward to. And let's make the decisions that make sense. It's not a question of what's good and what's bad only. It is what is best in light of what we have promised to us. May God help us to understand these three things that are here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You can know that you're just in a temporary tent. Your real self is within that tent. You can know that you'll be better off when your soul leaves your body. Yes, indeed, you'll be better off if you're a believer. And you can know when you groan, you're groaning for a wonderful future that God has promised, that you'll have a glorified body, never get sick, never get old, never get tired, never die, forever and ever and ever. Therefore, the Bible says, make the right choices. Make the right choices one day at a time. Don't lose your soul. Don't lose your purpose. as a believer. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. We've been talking about that. We've been talking about our future.